Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Just put up Acts 2:42. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. It's been an unforgettable teaching, isn't it? It's been an amazing journey. Beautiful, beautiful, and amazing journey. Hallelujah. And we've been blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been such a blessing, isn't it? Primitive apostolic practices. This is part 5 now. This is part 5. Glory to God. All right. We laid certain foundations. We made foundational statements. I'll go through a few of them before we get into the work of the day. Hallelujah. You know, we began the series by asking, by answering certain questions that may pop up in people's hearts. Someone is a primitive apostolic practice. That sounds deep. I thought we were not supposed to be deep. Amen. That sounds serious. That sounds like a Bible school topic. Praise God. And I countered that by telling you about God's vision for the New Testament church. I told you that God has an expectation and a vision for his body in the new covenant. And that expectation is that he will manifest himself fully through every part of that body. That means we are not in the Moses and Aaron's generation. Remember? Where they were just the superstars, they heard from God and communicated to God's people. Glory to God. They were the only ones who could prophesy. It was so serious that when the Lord told Moses to gather 70 elders and he would take all the spirit that is upon him and put upon them, and there were these two guys who were not there. They were in the camp, and the spirit of the Lord came upon them also, and they began to prophesy. And somebody ran and told Moses, "Hey, Moses, bade them to stop. Bade them to stop. This is something sacred. This is something special. This is something for the select few. Working some miracles is just for pastors." Amen. Moving in word of knowledge in the manifestations of the Spirit is just for pastors, apostles, and prophets. Tell them to stop. And Moses told the guy, he says, "Are you jealous for me? I would to God that all of God's people were prophets." Hallelujah. So Moses, even in that dispensation, saw God's vision. That God wants to put his spirit upon every part of his church. And that happened on the day of Pentecost, actually. And currently, the Spirit of the Lord is upon every believer. What we're even talking about is giving expression to that Spirit of the Lord. Because the Spirit of the Lord didn't come into us to sit down. Oh, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about? Hallelujah. There has to be some holy activities motivated by the Spirit within. Glory to God. Oh, somebody didn't hear that. The Spirit didn't come into you for you to sit down. Hallelujah. There's got to be some holy activities. Glory to God. We call them manifestations of the Spirit. And my point is that manifestation, giving expression to the power of God, giving expression to the wisdom of God, is the responsibility, is the privilege, rather, of every believer. And that is God's vision. Glory to God forevermore. So church cannot be structured to have just customer-consumer approach. It's not possible. I've told you before, if you see any kind, of course, you're already here. So the people I should be talking to are people watching online. If you are in a place where they are not training you for the manifestations of the Spirit, they are not training you to give full expression to the power of God in your generation, run away. If all you do is just to come, be blessed, and you go, and they prophesy from morning to night, you are not growing. Forget that you are seeing manifestations of the Spirit there. You are not being developed. What do? You run away. Glory to God. Like I said, the people are not here. Hallelujah. I'm talking to them online and through the camera. Praise God. Glory to God. Because the mark of every true apostolic church or apostolic community is that everyone carries and manifests the measure of that apostolic spirit. have it together. And that is God's vision. So we said, we have to adjust our curriculum to fit God's expectation, if you remember that. Glory to God forevermore. We said the design of the new covenant necessitates that every believer should be raised to carry and communicate the fullness of God to their world. And this is what we saw the early church, or we see the early church exemplified in reality. Glory to God. You remember in Acts 8 verse 4, they went everywhere. They went everywhere. Everyone went everywhere. Acts 8 verse 4, preaching the gospel. They didn't leave the preaching to evangelists. Everyone went everywhere. He said, therefore, that I was scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. Everyone went everywhere, preaching the word. In fact, talking about they that were scattered abroad, the apostles were not here because the apostles were left in Jerusalem, if you remember. Because later, after Stephen got the whole of Samaria converted, he had to send for the apostles who were in Jerusalem. So the everyone here is talking about every part of the church except the apostles, except the pastors. Praise God forevermore. They went everywhere preaching. They went everywhere proclaiming the good news of the gospel. That means preaching the gospel is the responsibility or the privilege of every believer. Not just for evangelists. Do you understand? You are seeing some of the realities now. So every member of church could win souls. That's the picture they are painting. True win souls. That's the picture they are painting. Hallelujah. The other day I told you about deacons who turned cities upside down. Who could run commentary of the Bible, of the essence of the old covenant, without sermon notes. So they exemplify this vision of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Primitive apostolic practices. If we want their results, we should know what they did and do it. That's just the whole essence of the introduction. Glory to God forevermore. This is why we teach primitive apostolic practices, that God wants all of his people to be prophets, to speak for him and to represent him fully. So this is positioning us to live God's vision for the New Testament. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. All right, Acts 2:42. We'll read 42-47 today. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's one. And in fellowship, we have not even touched that. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43. Thank you, Lord. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Mm-hmm. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men as every man had need. We're reading to 47, 46 now. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There was unity. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hallelujah. So the first thing there is commitment to sound doctrine. I mean, you need to go get those materials. What's the first practice? Let's go through them. Number one. I can't hear you now. I just called it out for you. Number one. Commitment to sound doctrine. Number two. Practice of what? Protracted interface with the teaching of God's word. Number three. The practice of protracted and consistent prayers. All right. Glory to God. And we began to talk about prayers. That's where we are. Talk about prayers. Verse 42. They continued steadfastly in prayers. Okay. So we said that continued steadfastly shows consistency. That means it was repeated. Length of time. That's volume. And then fervency. The intensity there. It was intense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We said everywhere prayer is well taught and modeled, people will love to pray, right? And they will see results through their prayers. Glory to God forevermore. I will say prayer can be taught. Prayer, like every other spiritual thing, can be taught. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. John taught his disciples to pray. Glory to God. When I heard talk about the three approach to prayer that the early church had, number one, they saw prayer as waiting on the Lord. And we said many things there. Number two, they saw prayer as a platform for generating energy for life. Amen. Input, output. How many of you remember that? Energy for life. So you can't use 20 kV. I better pass my neighbor gen to power. 20 kV generator. How many of you watched the clip online? Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so prayer is a platform for generating energy for life. Life responds to energy. Glory to God. And then number three, prayer is a platform for warfare. All right. Developing a prayer life. I believe that was what we stopped 2 weeks ago. Developing a prayer life. Developing a prayer life. So this is where we'll stay today. First, second, and third service. Developing a prayer life. Ola Bakaya. Developing a prayer life. Remember, we're teaching primitive apostolic practices. So we have a picture. We have a reference point. Praise God. Jesus had a prayer life. I mean, he was prayer. He was prayer. Glory to God. The Son of the living God, the incarnate one, was a man of prayer in his earth work. He taught on prayer. He prayed prayer. Many times the Bible will say he went out before the break of dawn and prayed till dawn. Other times he prayed all night. He was a man of prayer. Glory to God. I believe it was Creflo Dollar who said that Jesus' ministry was about praying from one, it was about moving from one prayer place to another, interrupted with miracles or so. I'm just paraphrasing. Hallelujah. So he was just moving from one prayer place to the other, and in between doing miracles. That's remarkable, isn't it? So Jesus was a man of prayer in his earth work. The apostles and disciples in the early church had a prayer life. They had a prayer life. That means prayer was a lifestyle. Prayer was a lifestyle. And that means the focus or the purpose of their prayer was not just to meet physical needs. I think you should write that down. They had a prayer life, meaning to them, prayer was a lifestyle. And prayer had a purpose that was beyond a means to meet physical needs. Please, I need to write that down. So they had a prayer life. We're not just jumping into conclusions. They had a prayer life. And we have to learn from them and realign our understanding and practice of prayer. Here and there in the book of Acts and in the writings of the apostles, which is the epistle, we see their commitment to prayer. And sometimes we see the content of their prayer. And both of these, both their commitment, their pattern to prayer, and the content of their prayer suggests that prayer for them was a lifestyle. And the purpose of prayer was beyond meeting personal needs. Are we together? We can see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were locked up praying, waiting for the promise of the Father. Remember? They were locked up praying, waiting for the promise of the Father. Two things happened in that place of prayer. Number one, they thought to replace Judas. Okay? They saw it was the will of God that they should appoint someone from among them to fill in the space of Judah. That was part of what they prayed for. Number two, they prayed for the promise of the Spirit. They were making their hearts ready for the Holy Ghost to come. And then in Acts 2 verse 1, the Bible says, while they were there in one accord, in the upper room, on the day of Pentecost, there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the entire house. Just think about it. The Bible is a supernatural book. Just think about it. You see, I cannot understand why there are Christians who don't believe in the miraculous. I tell them they don't believe in the Bible. To believe in the Bible is to believe in the supernatural. It's to believe in the miraculous. When you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's filled with all kinds of miracles, all kinds of signs and wonders, all kinds of supernatural occurrences. It's everywhere. In fact, if you are looking for the spooky supernatural, it's there. For the weird supernatural, I was telling someone one day, I said, look, just read Ezekiel and you can program games. Amen. You can actually... Jay, they say Hollywood, they're acting weird stuff in supernatural. We have better stuff. Didn't you read in your Bible? Cherubs in the presence of God with four faces. Creatures with four faces. Face of a man, face of an ox, face of a lion, face of an eagle. Think about it. Think about a movie with a personality with four faces. Do you understand? Amen. You read will within wills. Amazing. All kinds of things. Here on the day of Pentecost, you have 120 people praying in the upper room. And bam, there came a sound from heaven. Sound. Like a rushing mighty wind. You were in the room and the place was filled. And suddenly there appeared. It was literal. Upon every one of them, cloven tongues as of fire. You open your eyes, you saw fire on Pastor Peter's head. You saw fire on Victor's head. You saw fire on Ella's head. Literally. Now I have to say that so we can get used to supernatural occurrences. And then they began to speak in tongues. Livro pani kesuj devora mila tena kasaya. So mina tena korazima tore friba konde sistepa. Luvra paktina so stevrile koda hasa. And as they were speaking those strange languages, they didn't understand what they were saying. The people outside were hearing them speaking in their mother tongue. And watch this. It didn't mean that they were speaking Chinese, Arabic, and then a Chinese man came ahead and speaking Chinese. Not necessarily. This is why it's supernatural. They were speaking in tongues, but the Chinese man heard the Chinese language. And that can happen. Because many times when we teach about, when people read about what happened on the day of Pentecost, in fact, this is the argument that has hindered many from receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Because they'll tell you, look, on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke the language, the Arab man who came heard them speaking his language. The Chinese man who came heard them speaking his language. The French man who came heard them speaking his language. So me, with the language I'm speaking, what language in the world are you speaking? They are ignorant. It doesn't really mean, necessarily mean they were speaking the people's language, but supernaturally, God caused them to hear them speaking their language. Do you understand? There was a time during one of Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, there were men who came from different nations to Tulsa, Oklahoma. He looked at a group of Indians also and said, be blessed. They heard him speaking Hindi. Hindi. But in the record, he says, be blessed. He spoke in English, but they heard it in their language. And many of them attested to the fact that they heard him speaking their mother tongue. That is supernatural. Are you here? Just a little digression, but I believe it's a blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So for the early church, it was a lifestyle. And it was channeled to a purpose greater than just personal need. That's what we're talking about. A prayer life. So they stayed there praying. Just imagine in the upper room, what were they praying? We're saying, oh Lord God, my Father, as I begin to pray today, every enemy pursuing our destiny, fall down and die. Was that what they were praying? No. No, they were worshiping. They were having fellowship with God. Thanking him for his promise. And saying, Lord, we are ready for your promise. Oh, we are here for the spirit that you promised. We are here to carry on the ministry that Jesus left us. That was what they were saying. That was the core of their prayer. You will see things today. Developing the prayer life. There is such thing as the prayer life. This is what I'm trying to prove to you. You will read again in Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, amen. When they return to their own company, you will see the content of their prayers. Just a moment. Not Acts 2. Sorry. I was on another page. Yes, Acts 2:42. That's right. Acts 2:42. Where we read, yeah, there's something I wanted to bring out there. Acts 2:42. He said they continue steadfastly in prayers. It was a lifestyle. You don't continue steadfastly in something if it's not a lifestyle. That's just what I wanted to show you there. We have read it earlier already. Praise God. Acts 3:1. The Bible says Peter and John were headed to church to pray at the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, right? That's 3 p.m. So prayer was a routine and they were regimented about it. It was a lifestyle. You can put it up. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. We will come back here later. At the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, they were going out to pray at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So they were committed to prayer as a routine because it was a lifestyle. And they were regimented about it because it was a lifestyle. Are you seeing that there? Acts 4:24. Okay, this is the one I wanted to check. Acts 4:23. I'm right. You know, I needed to check. When I was writing this, but I just assumed that's the verse. I just said it should be somewhere around 23:24. And I'm right. Praise God. Acts 4. I'm being let go. They went into their own company. I'm reported all that the chief priest has done. That's 23:24. I was right. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and saying, Lord, thou art God. Now, the focus here is the content of their prayer. The content of their prayer. When you go to verse 30, you see, but verse 29, you can put 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth your hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaking, and that where they were assembled together was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What was the focus and the purpose of their prayer? That the word of God was spread by the manifestations of the Spirit. That was the purpose of their prayer. The church gathered, and what they were praying about for hours until the power of God broke out was, Lord, stretch out your hands to heal. Let power be demonstrated. Oh, we want to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. We want to prove that he was raised from the dead. We want to prove that he's coming back again. We want to prove that he loves humanity. That was the focus of their prayer. Kingdom advancement. This was church gathering, remember? This was in pastor's meeting. They went to their company. He was talking about the early church. And the focus of the prayer was the word of God spreading. The word of God spreading. Listen, when you catch this about prayer, your life moves faster. I have many things to show you. I'm just building my argument that to the early church, the apostles and the early church, prayer was a lifestyle. And their focus was kingdom. When we check the pattern, when we check their commitment, when we check the content of their prayer, it was a lifestyle. They had a prayer life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts 6 verse 4. The legendary statement by the apostles who gave ourselves continually for prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, there were no exempting the rest of the church. They were just describing their own commitment and intensity to the practice. Relative to the issue at hand. Okay? Relative to the issue at hand. They're not saying because you are now an administrator, don't pray anymore. The life of Stephen and what's his name and Philip demonstrated that there were men who were men of prayer, who were full of the Spirit. So that statement actually tells us about the priority of the early church. Do you understand? That's what he's saying. Praise God forevermore. For example, Pastor Peter is a director of admin. He does a lot of administrative work. But he's still a man of prayer. Have you heard him pray before? Are you here? No, they were not exempting those who were to serve table from prayers. But I love the construction. That's what I wanted to see. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer. So they had a prayer life. There's such a thing as a prayer life. There's such a thing as prayer as a lifestyle, a prayer that is focused on kingdom advancement. We'll give ourselves continually. Give you the Message translation. I love the construction in the Message translation. TPT say, we'll give our full attention to prayers. Amen. Message say, meanwhile, we will stick to our assigned task of prayer and speaking God's word. Assigned task. It was a task. We will stick to our assigned task of prayer and speaking the word. This is your assigned task, brothers and sisters. It is prayer and speaking the word. Assigned task. I love the expression. Assigned task. Don't forget, what I'm proving to you is that to the early church, prayer was a lifestyle. Hallelujah. You also see in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, who was not even yet born again, displays such a lifestyle of prayer. Of course, with his understanding of the old covenant. You see it in verse 2. And there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius of the Italian band, verse 2. A devout man, one who feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He prayed to God always. That was the lifestyle. He prayed to God always. And he brings out a word there that we have to consider. He said he was a devout man. That means he had a personal devotion. Do you understand? He was devoted. There was a devotional approach to prayer that he had. That's what he said. So there's such a thing as a prayer life. Oh yes, there is. In fact, in verse 4, just watch what the angel said. Put on verse 4. He looked on him, he was afraid, and said, he said, thy prayers and an alms are come up before God for a memorial. That's what I wanted to see. For a memorial, for a monument. They had a prayer life. I could go on and on and on. I just wanted to see. Okay. Now look, for them, it was a lifestyle, and the purpose was clear. Kingdom was the focus. Praise God. How many of you remember my all-time old quote? You don't build a prayer life around prayer points. You build a prayer life around fellowship and destiny. How many of you remember that? Hallelujah. And it is the truth. A prayer life is built around fellowship, devotion, and destiny, not prayer points. I want to say prayer points. I'm talking about the typical African idea of prayer points. Let's say there are 10 prayer points that we are praying today. Number one, my father, every sin I've committed, have mercy on me, Lord. Number two, my father, anything blocking my destiny now. Now, I can't imagine. There are people who spend 5 hours praying like that. You may even get answers. But that is not the crux of the matter. If you don't learn what Jesus and the Bible have to teach about prayer, you shortchange yourself. There's a blessing in prayer that you never have. Let me put it simply. You will not have a prayer life. So like I said, you may pray such prayer and even see answers. But it doesn't translate to a prayer life. It doesn't translate to building a devotional life in prayer. It doesn't. And there are blessings that comes with having a devotional life in prayer that you can never get otherwise. It does something to your spirit. I've taught you before about the genus of prayer, being the impact it has on your personality. Not even the answers you get on the outside. The answers on the outside are important. But the most important thing is what it does to you. But see, that cannot happen if your perspective about prayer is wrong. That cannot happen if you don't understand that prayer has to be a lifestyle and the focus has to be the Father and His kingdom. Are you with me? It won't translate to a prayer life. You may pray those prayer points and have answers, but you don't have a prayer life. Because the focus is wrong. The approach is wrong. That change in your personality, that impact in your spirit. The Bible says while he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Something happened from within. While he prayed, he began to glister. He began to shine. Something happened from within. So it's not about the external things you want to get solved. No. It's about the reconfiguration of your inner man. It's about the transformation of your inner man. You become a dependable person. You become a believer that heaven can trust. You become a Christian that God can really talk to concerning the things that matter. Jovan is my son, our last son. Amen. Glory to God. I love him so much, but I can't really have fellowship with him. Are you aware of that? He's not even aware. He's not even conscious yet of anything like fellowship. Let me step up a little. The 2-year-old Jason. I can't have fellowship with him as much as I love him. His talk will be around request. Dad, I want juice. Dad, I want ice cream. Dad, I want biscuit. I want bread. But you see, no parents want their child to remain at that level. The very purpose of existence on the earth negates that. You don't want your child permanently age 2, age 3, just asking for things, just giving you orders. When you're coming back, buy me toy. When you're coming back, buy me ice cream. A time comes where it reverses. You start giving the orders. Amen. Glory to God. It's called growth. It's called responsibility. A time comes where a son just wants to know the heart of his father or his mom to make them happy, to do them good, have it together. So it's growth. What I'm saying is that growth is not possible if your approach is wrong. If you don't have understand that, look, there's such a thing as a prayer life, and it's about a lifestyle and having the right focus. It's not just about prayer points. Have it together. Glory to God. Amen and amen and amen. All right. So, I think I mentioned 3 D's of developing a prayer life to you. I'll give you extra materials there. We'll say the prayer life, developing a prayer life, number one, it begins with a decision to start praying. Remember that? A decision to start praying. And that decision starts by understanding of the necessity, the urgency, and the power of prayer. It's a decision. Now you understand the necessity, the urgency, and the power of prayer. You decide, I'll be a person of prayer. I'll build a prayer life. It begins with a decision. As you are hearing this now, you are making a decision. For those of you who have not started building a prayer life, and the beautiful thing is you can start from where you are. This is why I showed you Luke 11, that you can be taught to pray. Someone say, yeah, I thought we only pray when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. You can't. It doesn't work that way. You cannot have a prayer life that way. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, what are you even talking about? So you can start from where you are. Your dear pastor, there was a time I couldn't pray by myself for 1 hour. In fact, for 30 minutes, in case you don't know. I'll pray and pray and pray and pray. And pray and pray and pray. Now, in fact, that was the time I was already conscious. At that time, I was already conscious of the necessity to build a prayer life. So I'm not talking about just being a novice. That's by myself now. As a younger lad, I used to follow my mom to prayer house. Amen. In Africa, our mothers pray. Amen. They take you places. You know, Pastor Gia and I, we used to follow our mom too. There's this all night every week. Every week. Yes. We're young lads, primary school. Every week. Maybe primary six, five, six. Every week. We're not really praying, but we're the environment. We're in the environment. They used to pray from 10 to 5 or so, about 7 hours. We're in the environment. We started just join and then sleep will catch you. Just lie down and sleep. And sleep. When they remember, they wake you up. You came here to pray. You will sleep again. What do you want to tell you? We will sleep and sleep. And then by 4 a.m. or 4:30, they start waking us up. When they are singing one song, you know, the all night is about to end. The all night is about to end. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you walk back home with sleepy eyes. Praise God. Well, my point is 2 things I wanted to say from that. Number one, you see, that atmosphere is important. It helps. It helps. Let me not go ahead of myself. I'm going to teach you about the three pillars of a personal prayer life. One of them is understanding the power of community. Communion, commitment, and community. I'll get into that in second service. It was happening to us while we were there. Things were happening to us. Praise God. And for those of you that are parents, take your children. It doesn't matter how young they are. Bring them around prayer. Bring them around prayer. Let them be running around. Bring them around prayer. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord may come upon people around there and they begin to prophesy to them. Those things will come to pass. Those things will come to pass. The power of words spoken under the anointing. Ah, yeah. I have a friend, some of you, but of course, most of you know him, who was a Muslim. Before he came to University of Jaws, got converted. You know him, right? And became a fiery Christian. Converted everyone in his house. He wasn't just a Muslim. He was a scholar. He was being built to be a scholar. But who got converted? How did he start? He was in primary school. He was in primary, GS2. And then one of his seniors, one day, he's a junior, come here. One day you will save Jesus. And left. He said those words haunted him for 6 years. If I said the reason he went deeper into scholastic erudition in Islam was because of those words. He went to the Amalam, they'd give him up, you know, they give him things to do, that is a demon, you know, all those kind of things, but he couldn't leave him. He said, one day you will save Jesus. After he got born again, called a man, he said, remember, he said, I cannot remember. In primary, secondary school, I can't remember. I said that to you. But the power of words spoken under the anointing. He said he couldn't sleep. He said, Junior, come here. One day you will save Jesus. That was all. Peru kamila kosemidakaya. Of course, that was spoken under the anointing. And see, those things are facilitated in the atmosphere of prayer. Oh, they happen in the atmosphere of prayer. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Back to my main point. You start from where you are. There was a time I couldn't pray for 30 minutes. I'll pray and pray and pray and pray. And pray and pray and pray and pray. You know, you have prayed. And in your mind, I've done 1 hour today, finally. Finally. Let me now check the wristwatch or the wall clock. It's time to check the time. And then 12, almost 13 minutes. You just check, it's just 15 minutes. I am wondering, what? Is something wrong with that watch? You check another one. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you see, we kept at it. We kept at it. Because there was a decision. Okay? To develop a prayer life. The decision to start. Because we now know the necessity, the urgency, and the power of prayer. It's important to Luke 18 verse 1. Jesus taught on prayer. He says, he spake a parable to this end. Meaning this was the motivation for the parable. That men ought always to pray and not to be prayerless. No, talk to me. He spake a parable to them to this end. That men ought always to pray and not to be prayerless. No. Most times people think that the opposite of prayer is prayerlessness. No. The opposite of prayer is fainting. He says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So prayer is breathing. Once you know that prayer is breathing, you make a decision to pray. Prayer is breathing. That means without prayer, there's spiritual asphyxia. You are asphyxiated spiritually. You are choking spiritually. It is true. Your spirit man is choking. Prayer is the way your spirit man breathes. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your mercy and kindness. Lebrumba kiza meto la bira someti la kaya. Tova mekate soliapa. 30 minutes you are breathing. Or here and there you have learned the act of practicing the presence of God in prayer. In the bathroom you can pray. While driving you can pray. While walking, sometimes it depends on the kind of work you're doing, you can pray. Are we together? What are you doing? You are breathing. You are breathing. You are breathing. So it starts with the understanding of the necessity, the urgency, and the power of prayer. So Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I don't want to faint. I want to breathe. You start building the prayer life. Systematically now. Are you here? Ephesians 6 verse 18, Message translation. Believe it or not, we are at war. Oh, we are at war. Whether you like it or yes, amen. That's Nigerian construction. He said, whether you like it or yes. Oh, he didn't say that. You've never heard that before. We are in war. There is war. I listened to a message many years ago. There is war. There's war. There is war. There is war. Hallelujah. Listen, listen. Trust me on this. And it's in scripture. Amen. There's war. We are in a warfare. The believer is in a warfare daily. And the warfare is not to defeat Satan. He's already defeated. Amen. Are you with me? The warfare is not to defeat the flesh. The flesh has been crucified with Christ. Are you here? The warfare is not to defeat the world. The world has been defeated. But see, this storyline of victory is legal. To vitalize it as a daily experience, as your consistent experience, that's where the warfare comes in. That's where the warfare comes in. Satan wants to blind your eyes, not to see the reality of the word, not to see what God is showing, not to see what God is doing. That fight to take his veil off is warfare. Are we together? That fight for the light of God's word to explode in your heart is warfare. Remember in 1 Corinthians 10 from verse 3 to 4. He says, we wrestle not against, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says, for though we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty to God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down reasonings, casting down imaginations. That's warfare. That's warfare. That means every Luciferian dogma, ideologist that he sponsors to cover the earth, to cover our territories, to cover our minds, should the materials we interact with. Responding with the gospel is warfare. There's war over the souls of men. In fact, it will start that. That's talk for another day. There's war over the souls of men. Over the souls of men. Ideological warfare. They want to desensitize us to be comfortable with iniquity is warfare. Some of you don't even know why you are dressing the way you are dressing. You have come under the influence of the spirit of the war of this age. Is warfare. We need to break you out of it. Is warfare. In fact, you need to break yourself out of it. Is warfare. Amen. There's war. There's battle for control. There's battle for territories. They are already fighting for your children. Born and unborn, they are fighting for them already. There's war. There's war. I heard something that oh God Almighty. You have no idea of what these guys do. I heard something about an adult content about gay and sexuality that pops up in children's cartoon website and channel that does not even show when parents are watching. That means they use some facial recognition. That's evil. That's evil. That means white parents are watching. If parents are there, it doesn't even pop up. Until they're alone with the screen. We are at war. We are at war. The occult are aware. The babalawos are aware. Are you aware? Give me that scripture now. Ephesians 6:18, Message translation. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. Keep your eyes open. It's the first part I want you to see. He said prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. How are we going to dismantle such systems? Prayer. That's what he's saying. Prayer. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. You don't know why you want to dress for half of your breast to be out. You think he's looking hot, his fashion. You are a victim of the spirit of the age. You are not aware. You are not aware. So you use fashion. You're saying, Pastor, what's wrong? Can someone just look hot once in a while? I'm just going out. It's just an outing dressing. Can't you just understand with me? You are just being, it's an influence. That's my point. It's an influence. They have subliminally influenced your mind over time. You can't even see anything wrong with it anymore. Victim of battle beyond your control. The sack trouser. You too want to sack your trouser. You think you are being, you don't know why. You don't know why. The clothes are torn. They say they are wearing torn clothes now. No, I'm not talking about torn jeans, though. No, not ripped jeans. No. Let me tell you something. Somebody came up recently and said, look, we should review the way we make clothes for children. We should no longer make boys and girls clothes for children. We should make neutral clothes so that they can decide their sexual orientation after they grow. Real talk. A popular celebrity, if I call her name, you know, she was the one who said this. There's war. It's just make neutral clothes. So your 5-year-old son is in a confused clothes. Are you here? You see, it sounds funny, we may be laughing, but if nothing is done, they will prevail. They will prevail. Have you not seen recently that there are no real movies now without gay scenes? 10, 20 years ago, we thought that was not possible. If they said you would have laughed, but we stayed back. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. When we call for prayer meetings, you don't sleep at home anymore. When we say we are praying online, you won't give funny excuses. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. You are seeing it. How do you want to arrive in heaven? No prayer investment to move God's kingdom on the earth. I want to be seen in the realm of the spirit as a man and woman who has tremendous prayer investment for kingdom advancement. Prayer investment for kingdom advancement. Because of my prayer, I seize the radar. Because of my prayer, certain demonic activities couldn't happen. Because of my prayer, that boy, that girl was saved. Because of my prayer, that mountain was taken over. Because of my prayer, the kingdom advanced. And this is where real power is. So you can see that this takes prayer just beyond physical, meeting physical needs. Now that's important. We'll get into that maybe in second service. There's war. Even for your personal life, there's war. You got to open your eyes. There's war. You don't just relax, you pray. So by the time you see this, if you truly see this, you make a decision to pray. You make a decision to pray. Another reason, you need energy for life. So you pray. James 5:16. What does it say? The B part. It says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Prayer makes power available. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Message translation. Amen. We'll end there. Is it well for always? Is it because we know that this extraordinary day is just ahead? We pray for you all the time. So it's prayer. Prayer. And then it shows us what the prayer will do. What the prayer will do. He said, we pray for you all the time. We pray that God will make you fit for what he has called you to do. Pause. Does football come to your mind here? That means you can buy a player to the club, but he's not fit for the match. Are you here? You bought him. The purpose is to play the match, to win the league, but he's not fit. That means there is what God has called you to be, but there is a fitness to be what God has called you to be. Prayer makes you fit to fulfill your purpose. That's what he's saying. We pray that God will make you fit for what he's called you to do. We pray that he will fill your good ideas and acts of faith with his own energy so that it all amount to something. That means that you have good ideas is not enough. It may not amount to anything. That means that you have acts of faith is not enough. I've sown my seed is not enough. Prayer gives it energy so that it amounts to something. I'm serving in church. Lord, can't you see I'm serving? It's not enough. Prayer will fill the good acts, the act of faith, the good ideas, so that it all amounts to something. Rise to your feet. Let's go for service. Oh, hallelujah. Lebro kapena so stepura bakaya. Mento savri peko. We'll spend time in second service to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. But can we pray for 2 minutes? Have you, maybe those of you who are new members, you've not heard the term ballistic praying before. How many of you have heard the term ballistic praying? You know what called ballistic praying? That means you can jam 30 minutes prayer into 5 minutes. Your hand is praying, your cell, your kidneys are praying. Your ears, your eyes, your brain, your soul, your spirit, your desire, your emotions, your will. We call it ballistic praying. Under 5 minutes, you are feeling the fire already. Sometimes under 3 minutes. This is the kind of prayer I want us to pray now. This is not Sela, Bredo, Sushta. Oh Lord, thank you. You have forgot what the pastor even say again. The necessity of prayer, power of prayer, prayer life is a lifestyle. No. Are you ready for ballistic prayer? We have 2 minutes. We have talked about developing a prayer life. You will pray it. I'm a man of prayer. I am giving to prayer. I'm a woman of prayer. In the name of Jesus, leprectoski leprendo kappa. For me, prayer is a lifestyle. Shepetola pribeko pateseletiaka. Samila kapato. Those of you online, make sure you're praying. In la kapatosa. Shapato leprivekota silaka. Shambika petosika predila. Lika peton sista prenda kipandaka. Soria panda ko prendika ponsta. Shapatola pripetos. Shapita pita. Palatom patila ponda. Shapati pati, shepetola pilatosa, repetoba. Oh, I receive help from God, and I faint not. I receive help from God, and I faint not. I receive help from God, and I faint not. I receive help from God, and I faint not. Shapeta polapa, shepetobola pata. Lepetoba likapa, shapatola pilato, mampatala panda kila, pori panda kostilata, surapena kora petanaka, salia kopatila panda, ulameta peliton zipana, tovila petalokapa, just blast in tongues, shapato palita, with everything you have, pelito pate, elapa. Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands upon me, Lord. Lay your hands on me. Oh, Lord, I need your hand. Shapatobolapa. Fire upon your altar. Fire upon your altar. 20 seconds left. Ballistic praying. Fire upon my altar. Shapatopatelika. Pelitosika. Palapolapa, Shalikopata, Repatola, holy fire, burn upon my altar, Palito, from within me, Spirit, you take over. Hey, holy fire, burn upon my altar, Shabatoba, Likapatola, holy fire, burn upon my altar, Ella Pelapa. From within me, Spirit, you take over. Hey, holy fire, burn upon my altar. Ela pena copatila, repetola pilato. Lord, touch every heart, touch every altar here with your fresh fire. Ela pata pola palata, erapetoba pila copa. Holy fire. Burn upon my altar. From within me, Spirit, you take over. Elabana, holy fire, burn upon my altar. Ekapelatos, ilapribetolaba. Brothers and sisters, pray. Say, Lord, a fresh fire. There's fire upon my altar. Holy fire. He's burning more, 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 more,
more ballistic praying, more petobalita merikopatilako shepetola priato. Let the tongues come out with fire, with force. Membro kopono kovalita. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Mekobalika pai. Ay! Palapoleti seletia. Shepetonda kipatoski la palatia taya. Hey! Shepetobalika palita. Rome patila koskila trania tapa. Shepetobatila. Lift your hands, everyone. Pilate patatola tilata. Shepetola prianda kapaya. Surapena kobatila tonskipa. Shapila tomba tolapa. Let there be a supercharging of your altars with the fire of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Likro penis kavra pantos kiba. Lepetona pratila sustapa. Lura pena korabina kata. Zebrua pina tola predila. Kora petane lovria pata. Luz katila toraba. Lopra patika pula tiletos. Shuate patile topa. Repetola bila tosiata. Peliatopa. Let a fresh fire come upon every altar here. Let the spirit of grace, of prayer, of supplication rest upon you from here. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Korebasa. Lepetonski stepura batanaba. Madia kopatiske pata. Delianda koza stevrepina kore sematilaka. Kai. Thank you, Lord. Kerebeto sayaka. Thank you, Lord. Aye. 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 Matoveli kapasushta. Metila sombra talika sushta po. Lipato, wherever you are in the halls, in the overflow hall, open your mouth and speak in tongues. Lubrada kasepatana. Liba that which you seek, you have found. Jesus. Ila bena kosa. Melo bradis sapatana haya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yakoba di Samata Labaya Semilato Sashta Bora de la Capataya.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.